Recorded live.
Hello, everybody, and this is Rick, and this is the 25th of June, 2012, and you're listening to the AR Library Q&A call. Our first question for the day, we just got back from an EMS in Texas on the 18th of June. I left there with as many questions, if not more, than when we arrived. I'm wondering, when is the right time to ask questions that I have? We're not living together at the moment, so I don't want to drill her with questions every time I see her, yet the questions still linger. I believe my wife is doing Hope for Healing and will be signing up for Harboring, and I'll be signing up for Harboring Hope. I don't want to lose the momentum we gained in Texas. As little as it was, it's still moving forward. So one of the things I would do on questions is be sure to write everything down. That would be the first thing. If you'll write the questions down that you've got, and then respectfully you might just contact her and say, these are the questions that I have. I don't know if you're in a place where you could answer those particular questions, but if you could answer any of them, it would be helpful for me. And just tell her that she only has to answer if she can. It may take a third party to help facilitate that. I think a lot of times when couples have been separated, that and dealing with disclosure is such a difficult thing, that being able to make sure it's not a destructive process, and that's why I think writing it down makes it easier. Even more, if she can write responses back to you, what that accomplishes is you've got the ability to go back and look at it and see it and think about it without having to maybe re-ask that question. I mean, you may ask it again later, but I think you'll find it keeps it from becoming emotional. And just, again, tell her, you know, if she could answer any of them, that would be helpful for you. And also, as you go through the recovery process, you're going to find your ability to talk about these things will actually improve. The one thing I wouldn't want you to do is kind of get back into an old destructive pattern of trying to, where you all spin out of control as a result of disclosure, and so I would want to try to keep it very calm. Hopefully that'll give you some help. And the other thing I said, as you go on and proceed through this, if she's doing Hope for Healing, I can guarantee you her ability to talk about it and for both of you just to kind of process through is going to really be improved probably in a month or two. So be patient. I really do think you'll get the answers you need. So here's the second question. It's been 1 year and 4 months since D-Day and 1 year and 2 months since our EMS weekend. My question involves, what do we do to keep moving forward in recovery and healing? Thankfully, my husband is doing and saying the right things and has been for now for over a year, which I know is the best scenario in this situation. In all the obvious ways, we're doing quite well. We don't talk about his affair as much anymore. He seems to be on a good path and feels forgiveness, both for me and God. Even today, we seem to be on a good path. However, the hole in my heart is still filled with such sadness. I have days like today where tears just flow. Mostly I cry by myself now while he's at work. His affair went on for almost 10 years. It was revealed when I discovered not by his confessing. In the process of discovery, I read many emails, saw pictures from vacations, credit cards, bills revealing gifts. My mind has stored this information, and it's hard not to think about it. There are many triggers every day that cause thoughts or images to cross my mind. During the past year, because of EMS and Harboring Hope, I have had to process a process to follow, which kept me working on and working through this heartbreak. Now, it's like everything is over and it's time to get on with my life, but everything feels so different. My husband is patient and isn't pushing this. I guess it's just a feeling that I have because I don't know what else to do. My husband seems to have moved past this and is engaging with me and in our marriage, and for that I'm thankful. I, though, feel stuck and don't know what to do. I also feel somewhat angry that my husband seems to be doing quite well while I feel the weight of his actions crushing me. I even feel guilty for feeling angry. I've had to live a pretend normal life in public now for over a year, and it's taken a toll on me. My difficulty isn't just letting go, but accepting that adultery is forever a part of our history. The life, married for life, the life and the marriage I wanted and thought I had, security of a faithful husband, isn't my reality. It changes everything. Who I am, who he is, how I think of him and our marriage, how I relate to friends, my relationships with God, my whole personality. I'm a different person, and I don't want to be a different person. Does this pain and disappointment ever go away? How do I work forward toward acceptance of my new reality? What can I do to continue to recover? You know, I don't know that grieving is a process by which you can just set a date. Okay, by this time, I'll complete the grieving. Somehow, I'll be finished with grieving. I think it's a long, long-term process. And with grieving, I believe that it is what it is. It takes as long as it takes. And so much of it's, I think, continuing to allow yourself to think about it, continuing to allow yourself to cry and to grieve and to mourn. It's about getting to a place of acceptance. I know that if it's for 10 years, there's a lot of history that's been rewritten for you and a lot of disappointment. But I also believe that loss ultimately can be transformed. Sometimes something that begins to help as you continue in recovery is giving back to other people, beginning to find ways that you can talk with other women who have gone through this and maybe giving a hand up to others. I know that's something that's always worked in, it does work well. As we begin to serve and work for others, it allows us to continue to talk, but it also gives meaning maybe to what we've gone through. There are ways to do that through AR forums or maybe other websites or through Celebrate Recovery, but one place is beginning to get back to others. And if it's got to be anonymously, then it's something that I think can be done over the web. Because until I think you begin to see some advantages to this new life, then it's really difficult to just kind of come to this point. You want to be able to see that you're right. You didn't have the life you planned. But you've also got to find the benefits and advantages of the life you've got. And it's hard to come to that final place of acceptance. And, you know, in those stages of grief, as you learned in Harboring Hope, oftentimes you go back and forth, and there still is that place of anger, and there still is that place of, you know, I've lost Camelot. How do I find, and I like the title of Leslie's article, Rediscovering Camelot. How do I find my next Camelot? But don't be too hard on yourself. Anything you can read, I would not stop reading. I really like Cindy Beal's book. I want to say Broken Vows. I'm not sure that's the name of it, but it's Beal. You might try reading that book. Continue to stay in touch with other people. If you just want to do volunteer work, you might talk to Sabina here at Affair Recovery. They're always looking for women to help lead Harboring Hope groups. So that might be those are some ways that maybe you can begin to get back, and that could be helpful. Of course, individual counseling, just continuing to process through it, is another thing that could be helpful. I know it is an incredibly difficult journey, and hopefully, you know, it sounds like your husband's in a good place and will continue to let you talk. And I wouldn't stop talking. And but I would begin to create the new reality also and not just focus on what's lost. Begin to find things and ways you can minister and give. I know for Stephanie, probably one of the greatest gifts that she discovered through this was there was a new meaning. I mean, it opened up the ability for us to reach out, touch other people, do things, and for her in particular, that she never had opportunity for. And it's not one of those things I think that anybody would volunteer for, But there's something pretty incredible when you know you're being used by God to do something. So I hope that helps. And if you've got other questions, please feel free to post them here. And I will do, maybe I can have some other ideas. So I look forward to hearing from you again. Please let me know, keep me updated on how you're doing. So that's all of our questions for the day. I want to thank everybody for joining the call, and I look forward to talking to everyone next week. To healing.